I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Sidney Powell pleading guilty in the Fulton County case, the Fulton County election case against her, agreeing to, I believe, 12 months probation to pay a fine and to cooperate as a witness in the investigation into other people, including presumably former President Donald Trump.
Well, that is pretty big news. Sidney Powell, we've had on the air with us before. One of the original lawyers for Donald Trump as he battled to prove that the election was stolen. And I've not been able to get on the air recently because she had so many issues, cases pending against her, including the voting machine tabulation group that was Dominion going after her for multi-millions, if not billions of dollars, for making claims that they had helped defraud the American public. So earlier today, she did plead guilty in the Georgia election subversion case. It deals just with that case. And the Fulton County prosecutors are recommending a sentence of 6 years probation. And she will be required to testify at future trials, write an apology letter to the citizens of Georgia, also pay $9,000 in restitution fines and turn over documents. And yes, Trump is a co-defendant in that case. It does not appear in her plea documents, not mentioned at the trial briefing, but it will probably be all pulled together. I'll explain more for you on that in a moment. Thank you again for joining us. Here we are, October 19, 2023. October 19, second hour, Larry Connors, USA. Video of the show, of course, streams at Newstalk STL Facebook and Twitter. Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. You miss it, you go to LarryConnorsUSA.com. You'll find everything at any point you want. And then share it. Share it with others. We appreciate you doing so. So in evaluating exactly the charges that Powell has pled guilty to, I want you to listen to the summation, and I have no issue, even though it's a CNN reporter, she's a legal analyst, and she seems to be sticking with the basic facts of what the plea involves. Caitlin Politz.
There are two parts to what she is admitting here as part of this misdemeanor plea deal that comes with quite a lot of stipulations, including her having to testify at future trials against people like Donald Trump. Those parts are essentially that she previously had been accused in this case as taking part of the racketeering conspiracy. So that's very likely something that she would be testifying to. But what she's pleading guilty here in this case in Fulton County, Georgia, is related to Coffee County, that rural county outside of Atlanta, where there were voting machines, and she was accused of being part of a group of people that were hacking them. So this is a misdemeanor deal. It is not her pleading guilty to the specific felony charges that she was charged with, but she is admitting to taking part in that portion of what had happened there in Coffee County. Very likely will be speaking in a way where her words can be used against those other defendants accused of the hacking conspiracy in Coffee County, trying to get access to that voting system there, but also she is part of a much bigger conspiracy case, the racketeering case against Donald Trump and others, which accuses her of being part of the top echelon of lawyers around Donald Trump that were trying to undermine the election. And even though the charges in Georgia for her previously and in this case were specifically about Coffee County, she was a person that was with the White House, in the White House, next to Rudy Giuliani at public appearances, and part of that effort where various lawyers around the country were trying to put allegations of fraud into the court system, of voter fraud, and those allegations ultimately were false.
All right, I'm going to break that down for you. It's a very long soundbite, but the key point being is that she was also involved directly with Trump, Giuliani, and other attorneys. And that's going to be a key point moving forward. But going back over what you just heard about the charges that she did plead guilty to, misdemeanor, but admitted taking actions, quote, for the purpose of willfully tampering with electronic ballot markers and tabulating machines, end quote, with the intention of taking and appropriating information, data, and software, the property of Dominion Voting Systems Corporation. Now, again, there's where part of the suit against Sidney Powell from Dominion Voting lies. Also, according to the filings, that she admitted to hiring a data forensics firm, sending its employees to Coffee County, Georgia, as you heard mentioned, so they could, quote, unlawfully access government computers with the purpose of examining personal voter data with knowledge that such examination was without authority. Her attorneys had rejected the prosecutor's claims that she orchestrated a breach of the Coffee County Tabulation Office. They said at pretrial hearings, prosecutors are incorrect on that, and the evidence would show she was not the driving force behind it. Well, one of the senior legal analysts for CNN added, this is still a major breakthrough to the prosecution, the words of Ellie Honig.
It's important to remember who Sidney Powell is. She's one of Donald Trump's closest loyalists. She's somebody who Donald Trump has claimed he relied on her advice to proceed in his effort to try to steal this election. This is a major breakthrough for prosecutors, potentially a devastating development for Donald Trump, because what's going to happen now is Sidney Powell is going to testify for prosecutors in Georgia, and presumably she'll also be prepared to testify for Jack Smith in his federal case in Washington, D.C. She's not indicted in that case, but she's listed as a co-conspirator in that case. She's going to be able to provide insider information that could be really devastating towards Donald Trump.
That is a fact. Now, her trial, Sidney Powell's trial, was to begin Friday. The Fulton County judge repeatedly denied motions to get the case tossed, or at least chip away some of the more serious accusations based upon the alleged RICO violation. Then his most recent ruling coming last night when he rejected her arguments that the indictment violated her First Amendment rights. So this obviously a last-second plea deal changes that. There will be no trial starting Friday. Jury selection for Powell and a co-defendant. They both had asked for repeatedly a speedy trial, and it would have been the first courtroom showdown in the case. But now it appears that's not going to happen. The other one has not pled guilty. Kenneth Cheeseborough, he has not pled guilty to 7 crimes related to his alleged role in the fake elections plot, as they're calling it. But legal jeopardy does exist elsewhere involving Sidney Powell and others because, as I pointed out, she's also an unindicted co-conspirator in the federal election subversion case that you heard him mention special counsel Jack Smith has filed against Trump. The other thing is, how will the prosecutor look to take advantage of Sidney Powell now that she has entered her plea?
She will be able to say, I was in this room with Donald Trump, with Rudy Giuliani. Here's what we discussed. Here's who said what. Here's what we knew. And John, really importantly, in order to take this plea in this deal, Sidney Powell is going to have to acknowledge what we did was criminal. It was illegal. It was a crime. And so that's going to lend a lot of credibility, I think, obviously, to prosecutors' assertions that what Donald Trump did was knowingly a crime, was an intentional crime. So now they've sort of got an ultimate insider, somebody who has remained steadfastly loyal to Donald Trump, to the stolen election narrative. Now she has flipped. Now she has come clean. Now she's going to be a prosecution witness.
The words that she has flipped, those are striking, and they may well be at least painful, if not damning, to former President Trump. It will be interesting to see the additional fallout now that word's getting out that Sidney Powell has decided to plead guilty to the misdemeanors. And she's in a situation now, and I'm not a lawyer, don't try to pretend to be one, but as she begins to renege on any of this, this idea of the probation that she was given, 7 months probation, that could all be withdrawn, and they could go ahead and move forward with putting her in jail, and they could begin to move forward with other prosecution immediately. Because if you're not going to abide by the terms, they'll yank them. All right, in other news, fallout continues, of course, over the hospital bombed in Gaza. Hamas blamed Israel. All evidence, including from the Israelis and U.S. Defense Department, points to Hamas, a rocket fired from a cemetery behind the hospital, aimed for Israel, misfired, fell short. Biden did address that on Air Force One, and Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen discussed Biden's sources.
I think he got the same information that we received too yesterday in a classified briefing. I think it's pretty obvious that Israel didn't do this. It was a delivered from someone else. I couldn't really say who it is because that was classified that we received. But I mean, it's not hard, Maria, to check to see where the launch is from a missile. And it was obvious it didn't come from an airstrike. Remember, we have defense systems that shoot down missiles when they're shot in. We can also track them when they're shot out, too. So it was almost immediate we knew that Israel did not do this.
Yeah, no, I know, but I just feel like the comment is so cavalier.
I agree with that.
I mean, come on.
I think it was kind of more tongue-in-cheek. I think he was trying to be funny, but we've learned quite a bit that Biden is not funny.
Well, how many people are dead? Thousands of people are dead right now.
Yeah, well, Biden also said that Hamas needs to learn to shoot straight, which suggests if they had shot straight, if it had gone as intended, it would have landed somewhere in Israel and killed, likely, Israeli citizens. And yes, it's a shame that it fell short and into the hospital, but, well, they need to learn to shoot straight. I agree with Maria Bartiromo. It's not only cavalier, I think it's stupid, and it's certainly not a joke. The Hamas story still was repeated around the world, and it ended up leading to numerous protests, attacks on some embassies, taking over a Capitol office building in D.C., numerous protests. We're going to have more on that, including one of the leaders of it, Michigan Congresswoman Tlaib, here shortly, because they just jumped right in and said, because Hamas said it was Israel, it must be. Hamas would not intentionally bomb a hospital right in their backyard. I'm not so sure that they wouldn't, but in this case, the intercepts the Israelis made of communications between Hamas terrorists indicated they recognize, whoops, a mistake, a big mistake. One of them even almost saying, could it not fall somewhere else other than right on the hospital? And again, it would have been loaded with a lot of propellant fuel to get it to its original target, and that would have devastated the explosion and made it bigger and more deadly than considered earlier. Now, in the meantime, we have President Biden's pick for a U.S. ambassador to Israel is not passing the smell test for Senate Republicans. Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, Oklahoma.
I think this is a slap in the face to Israel. Jack Lew worked against the Trump administration the entire time that Trump was in office. When he was getting out of this disastrous nuclear deal with Iran, Jack Lew was working with Iran trying to figure out how to move their money around sanctions. Jack Lew, when he was Secretary of Treasury, lied to Congress and signed a special permit to transfer $5.7 billion into Iran assets to allow them to start the negotiation deal when he was underneath the Obama administration. He is not someone that should be put in place as an ambassador to Israel when Iran's the one that is running the proxy war with Hamas and Hezbollah right now against Israel. You got an administration that is absolutely blind and deaf to actually what's happening right now around the world. This is why appeasement doesn't work with policies. You need peace through strength, and this administration is all about appeasing, trying to show equality, not picking the right person for the right job.
Not picking the right person for the right job. In fact, picking the wrong person for that job. Sending someone who Israel, as a U.S. ambassador to Israel, who's been basically behind the doors working with Iran. I'm looking at a comment from the House Foreign Relations Committee Chair, the top Republican, Senator Jim Risch of Idaho. He said, we do need the position filled. The problem is it needs to be filled with the right person. The only thing worse than having it empty would be having the wrong person there. And I have issues in that regard. He's echoing a lot of what the comments you heard then from Senator Mark Wayne Mullen of Oklahoma regarding Jack Lew. Jack Lew is, as you heard described by Mark Wayne Mullen, has been so involved with Iran in the past during the Obama administration. I don't think you could separate them. He was Treasury Secretary, so therefore a top player in that financial aspects of the international agreement with Tehran, which lifted sanctions in exchange for, quote, limits on Iran's nuclear programs. But we know they're violating them. Even the UN observers have said they've been violating what sanctions were there. And, of course, the 2015 nuclear pact proposed by Obama was quickly withdrawn when Trump came into office. But again, to Senator Risch of Idaho, he said the whole thing is about Iran. He's holding hands with Iran under the table, and that doesn't work for me. Well, at the hearing, Lew defended his record on Israel and Iran, saying, I played a key role in the memorandum of understanding to provide billions of dollars in military aid to Israel, as well as meet its missile defense needs. I believe my reputation as somebody who stands with Israel is beyond question. Well, GOP leaders claim, no, you're not being transparent in your previous testimony on Iran sanctions. You were arguing that you were doing only what was given and nothing more, but we believe that you gave more than what was intended. He also had harsh words at one time for Iran, pledging to, quote, keep an eye on the country as a force hostile to Israel's existence by funding Hezbollah and Hamas. He admits that, and yet he apparently seems to be playing footsie with them to that extent. Senator Barrasso of Wyoming, the third-ranking Senate Republican, also added, Lew is the wrong person. Jack Lew should not be in that post. He said Lew's role in the Iran deal made him an ATM to the Iranian Ayatollah. Senator Mitt Romney, Republican of Ohio, even added, I know your confirmation could be done by just one party, and you'll likely be confirmed on that basis, which is exactly true because Republicans cannot stop Lew's confirmation if Democrats stay united. What they can do right now is slow down the process, as Democrat leaders argue, in the midst of Israel battling Hamas. Can they be fully effective? That's going to be the final question. Coming up, the events yesterday in D.C., was that equivalent to January 6th riot? Well, you're going to hear from Congresswoman Tlaib, who says Israel needs to do a ceasefire. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Talk radio made in St. Louis.
Very excited for what you guys are doing for the St. Louis community.
For St. Louis.
Relevant local talk.
Saying what we are thinking.
This is News Talk STL.
You guys are awesome. I love you. And it really, it's a tremendous honor to be on the station.
News, analysis, and opinion.
Thanks for covering the local angle.
Come on, people. This is America.
We better open our eyes.
Really local. Really good.
News Talk STL at 101.9/94.1
and NewsTalkSTL.com.
As a truck driver, I've learned how important road safety is. I know that large trucks need more time and room to stop. That's why I always hang back and follow other vehicles at a safe distance. Everyone can help keep our roads safe. Next time you're driving, try to remember to always give trucks extra space when you merge in front of them. Let's all plan to share the road safely. Learn how at www.sharetheroadsafely.gov.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner of Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
But as an American, not just as a member of the United States Congress, I am ashamed. I am ashamed that they're saying, not yet. Maybe next week. No. Not yet, Rashida. Maybe in a couple of days. How many more have to die? You know, as we come together, and it doesn't matter our faith, of course, the American Jewish community in my district, and all of you here, I just know how much courage it's taken to speak up. But all of you as well, that you know you're being targeted, you're being gaslit, some people are losing their jobs, folks are getting events canceled, literally their First Amendment right wiped away. For standing up and saying that children deserve to live.
No, you're not. You're not having your First Amendment right taken away because you say children deserve to live. That's a lie, just like the lie is that Israel bombed the hospital in Gaza. It's been refuted, documented, and yet she knew that when she was standing in front of that crowd gathering outside the Capitol and then later into a Capitol office building later. Three to five were arrested, a couple charged with assaulting Capitol Police. Do I hear anybody calling out January 6th riot happening now on October 18th yesterday? Nope, you're not going to. This note I do want to share with you. The State Department has issued a worldwide alert to Americans overseas. I'm not talking about those in the Middle East. They're saying anywhere overseas due to the potential for terrorist attacks because of what's happening in the Middle East. According to the State Department alert, due to increased tensions in various locations, the potential for terrorist attacks, demonstrations, or violent actions against U.S. citizens and interests, the Department of State advises U.S. citizens overseas exercise increased caution. That I would agree with. And not even overseas. If you're traveling anywhere, not, quote, overseas, or you're in an event, you need to be aware. And it might just be a lone wolf with nothing more than a knife, but could certainly prove to be deadly. Or it could be a group of them conspiring together with guns, bombs, whatever. Could be somebody driving a van that suddenly decides to plow on civilians on the street, or on the sidewalk, I should say. You got to keep your eyes open, and I've told you that you needed to do that from the very day that you had this administration basically say we're going to trade 5 hostages Iran wants and $6 billion in exchange for 5 Americans. I told you then that puts a target on the back of every American wherever you are. So don't just look at it as being overseas. Israel did tell Biden that they would allow not a ceasefire, but a humanitarian aid pause in firing. And Egypt today announcing it will open the Rafah gate, which connects to Gaza, and allow humanitarian aid in briefly tomorrow morning. Doesn't say they're going to allow any Palestinians come out. In fact, Israel has already made it clear we will not take any of those refugees. We don't want any of the Palestinians in here. Why? Well, because according to some within Israel supposedly wants to target and wipe out all Palestinians, and therefore Egypt would then be a target of Israel. And then the other one is that Israel wouldn't be firing on them simply because they're in Egypt, but only if they set up shop and began firing rockets from Egypt. Then Israel would retaliate. But it would be only a pause. But the bottom line is, the protesters yesterday and even today will not believe it was Hamas's mistake that led to that death, the bombing at the hospital. But that was a story being told on the stage yesterday and replicated all over.
It is pure, literally inhumane for my colleagues to allow that to continue and say nothing. You know, they continue to want me to believe everything that comes from our own country and from Israel under Netanyahu's extreme government. But how many times have we been lied to from mass weapons in Iraq? Lie. Again, of a human to be able to live and really survive and be able to thrive in our country and in the world. It's like it doesn't even matter. And that's what's been really painful. It's this, just continue to watch people think it's okay to bomb a hospital where children... You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos and the people telling the kids don't cry. And like, let them cry.
And if Hamas were truly interested in their civilians, they would have helped those people get out of the hospital and get into Egypt or somewhere else and make sure they're clear of the dangerous area. So she's going to accept Hamas' theory and statement that it was Israel. No blame on Hamas. Congresswoman Cori Bush of Missouri had to get up on the stand and make her remarks.
As I stand up here, not only in pain in my body, but in pain in my heart, in pain in my soul, but also my brain cannot comprehend what is happening right now. The fact that we have to continue to come together to ask for peace and justice and self-determination and love and humanity for actual human beings right now in 2023, I can't understand. But I'll say this. Deserve freedom. So we demand ceasefire now. Ceasefire now.
Well, the crowd quickly caught the chant. And when they ceased, she reminded them, I spearheaded a resolution. And we're not getting the respect we should with that resolution.
This Monday. Yes, this Monday, I, along with my sister, Congresswoman Tlaib, and Congresswoman Summer Lee and Ayanna Pressley and Andre Carson and Nydia Velasquez and who else? Yes. Who else?
Ilhan Omar.
And Ilhan Omar, you know. John Bowman. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. We introduced a ceasefire resolution that calls on the Biden administration to demand an immediate de-escalation and ceasefire in Israel-occupied Palestine.
And because there's not an immediate ceasefire, they're blaming Israel again for the attack on the hospital. And they want a full ceasefire. Do you know what happens with the ceasefire? The enemy's going to take advantage of it. And, of course, Bush, Congresswoman Bush then said, Biden is also making statements against us.
Less than a week ago, only a handful of members of Congress dared to utter the word ceasefire. We were called by our administration repugnant. They called us disgraceful for pushing peace. But if you know the pain of oppression, if you know what it's like to not understand how you can walk outside of your home and be a threat just because you exist, and even when you're in your home, you are a threat because you exist, but because they don't understand that type of oppression.
Well, she's calling out Biden, saying you're not giving us enough support. He did make those remarks, but he's not condemning them. He said the remarks were repugnant, but he's still not condemning them. Even in Israel, he did not stand there and say, members of my own party need to be pulled back. And Congresswoman Tlaib says, I have a message for Biden.
You know what's so hard sometimes is watching those videos and the people telling the kids don't cry. I'm like, let them cry. And they're shaking, and somebody, you know this, they keep telling them not to cry in Arabic. They can cry. I can cry. We all can cry. If we're not crying, something is wrong. And so I'm telling you right now, President Biden, not all America's with you on this one. And you need to wake up and understand that. We are literally watching people commit genocide and killing a vast majority just like this, and we still stand by and say nothing. We will remember this, but all of you, you need to know, I swear to God, Allah, you are on the right side of history. You are. You're doing everything possible to save lives. What is wrong with that? Stop it. We're trying to politicize this. One goal, save lives. That's it. Do everything you're supposed to do to make that happen.
Now, that was all outside the U.S. Capitol. Then later, many of them went into the Cannon Rotunda, part of the Cannon House Office Building. It's separate from the Capitol building, but considered part of the Capitol complex. And there was a group that was there that they were also saying supports us, that calling itself Jewish Voice for Peace. You need to know more about that group. We'll have that coming up. And also, Tennessee Senator Marshall Blackburn has some comments about dealing with all that we have on our plate right now and what is being omitted or ignored. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit. And if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Ackerman Toyota has the 2024 models. You're going to be impressed. Check them out in person at Ackerman Toyota, Hampton and Interstate 44. In fact, you've got to see the 2024 Toyota Sequoia. Very impressive. This is the time to buy and get top dollar for your vehicle. Looking for pre-owned? Ackerman Toyota can also help you. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. AckermanToyota.com. Ackerman Toyota for life. This is a scary time when it comes to your money, especially if buying a home. That's why you need Homestead Financial Mortgage. I know the owners, met the team. You can trust Homestead will be with you every step of the way. Call 24/7 with any question or concern. Homestead is on your schedule, not banker's hours. This is not just about buying a home. It's about trust. You can go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
If you like premium cigars and whiskey, I've got the perfect place. Lit Cigar Lounge, now open in its new space in the district, just off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit Cigars for anyone who enjoys great cigars, whiskey, bourbon, tequila. Ladies, that includes you. Leather seating, numerous big screen TVs, special events featuring live music and tastings. More details at litstl.com. litstl.com. Lit Cigar Lounge in Chesterfield.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I cannot imagine why they would not sign the letter. In 1997, the United States of America deemed Hamas as a terrorist organization. We have recognized Hamas as a terrorist organization since that time. We know that Hamas is funded in large part by Iran, that is the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism. We know that they give Hamas about $100 million a year, and they also supply training, different supplies, armor, and things that they need to carry out their attacks. Hamas is a proxy of Iran. They use them to do the dirty work, basically, against their opponents. And, of course, Iran and Hamas both say one of their goals is to eliminate Israel.
Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee. And she's referring to, I cannot understand why they would not sign that letter. What is the letter? The letter was a letter to President Biden condemning Hamas and Iran for the attack on Israel. And 149 members of Congress would not sign it. That included Pelosi, Jeffries, Hoyer, and Swalwell, and others. 149 would not sign off on a condemnation of a terrorist state as designated by our State Department, Hamas, and Iran. Why not? They don't upset the real progressive lefts that were out rallying yesterday. I mentioned earlier, of course, a lot of the rally was built around the rocket that hit the hospital in Gaza. And Hamas' immediate claim, Israel did it. And everybody in the world media ran wild with it. Now, if you don't know the source, you could at least quote Hamas says, or allegedly, but they were just doing it as fact. I have a commentary running today earlier that was talking about how the New York Times had to change its headline three different times. In the beginning, the first headline said Israel, and then calling it a strike, and then they decided to drop the word Israel and just left in the word strike. They ended up reducing it to a blast destroyed the hospital. Could have been a propane tank and the hospital blew up for all we know, based on the headline. But they had to dilute it over and over and over again. Why? Because they actually had to admit the facts were not there. I'm looking at a piece on CNN right now that says they have video, have seen video, and here's the way they word it. Video appears to show rocket fired from Gaza make a sharp turn back before the blast seen at the hospital. Now, if it were clear that it was Israel, they wouldn't say it appears to show a rocket fired from Israel hit the hospital. They would say video shows a rocket from Israel hit the hospital. But in this case, they put in an allegation. It appears that it was fired from Gaza. In other words, acknowledging it did not come from Israel. I'd mentioned going into the break that some of the group that had been helping organize the rally outside the Capitol and inside the Cannon Rotunda, which is part of the Capitol building, not the main part, was partly jointly arranged by one group called If Not Now. That's a radical left-wing organization opposing the state of Israel. And so is the other one, despite the name. Despite the name, this other one is also a left-wing radical organization supporting the state of Israel. JVP, Jewish Voice for Peace. It has a history of supporting Palestinian terrorists. In fact, a member of JVP spoke at a rally in Dearborn, Michigan, defending Hamas. Did not criticize the terrorist attack against Israel, did criticize peace agreements between Israel and Arab states. He was at a Free Palestine rally. You can see where they are if you trace them through as to which side they're really on. Well, a former member of Hamas, in fact, the son of a Hamas leader, defected decades ago. He knows the real story and desires of Hamas.
I was born at the heart of Hamas leadership, you know, and I know them very well. They don't care for the Palestinian people. They don't regard the human life. And I saw their brutality firsthand back in 1996 when I spent about a year and a half in Megiddo prison. You know, they killed so many Palestinian people at that time. And this is when I decided that I cannot be together with this movement. In fact, I asked myself a question. What if they become a ruling party at some point? What will they do? If they succeed in destroying Israel and building their state, what will they do? They will kill our people. And this was the first question, you know, that actually I had to be honest with myself. Even though Hamas gave me advantages, you know, I was like a prince in that world. But I did not like them, you know, and I turned against even my own blood, you know, because this is how much I did not like Hamas.
He defected to Israel, and his father disowned him, and he also became a Christian. And he wrote a book called The Green Prince, talking about his time inside Mossad from a child. From Hamas. That even as a child, he could see what they were doing. He said in the mosque, they were basically telling us, without shedding innocent blood for the sake of ideology, we will not be able to build an Islamic state. He said, we were 5 years old, and that's what they were feeding us. He also said, if there's going to be a ground invasion into Gaza, it's going to be difficult in many ways, and he suggests a weapon that no one likes to talk about, but he says it may be the only way to eventually achieve victory and eliminate Hamas.
First of all, we need to evacuate civilians as much as we can. You know, this is an ugly war, and Israel did not start it. Hamas did. First of all, we need to encourage civilians to go into Egypt, possibly women and children, maybe men over 50 years old. These need to get out of the picture. You know, then the strip need to be cut two pieces, north and south, two parts. the northern part, this is where most of the tunnels are. We need to have a solid siege, okay, for long enough to deplete the enemy and to starve them. After that, we may need to explore using gas. This is like sounds horrible, but I don't see any other option. The tunnels are interconnected, and gas could be one of the solutions, but this has to be in the right time. We cannot just rush into Gaza. You know, there is no modern army that is prepared for this type of war. And most importantly, we need to get the civilians out of the picture. As long as there are civilians there,
right,
then the operation might be incomplete.
And of course, they're trying to do that, but Hamas will not let Palestinians leave. And Egypt has locked the Rafah gate so they can't get into Egypt. There's no place for them to go other than the Mediterranean Sea. He also added, this is Mossad Yousaf, he said, we want to see people live, but we know we're going to see people die at the same time. But Hamas does not care about the lives of Palestinians. In the meantime, Biden is preparing to send $100 million in aid to Gaza residents, but he's already concerned that they will never see it. The Hamas will confiscate it.
If Hamas confiscates it, or doesn't let it get through, or just confiscates it, then it's going to end, because we're not going to be sending any humanitarian aid to Hamas.
This wasn't run by the Congress at all, the Senate or the House. This was something that was new to us. Last time I checked, we control the purse strings. If we can't guarantee where the money is going to go, we shouldn't be sending it, and especially to a hostile nation right now. I'm sorry, but I say a hostile group. Hamas can't be trusted. We know Iran has their hands all in this. The Palestinians are obviously protesting loudly against this and maybe even providing support for it, and so this isn't the time that we should be aiding our enemies. And that right now, Hamas is definitely the enemy that we have. They're protesting. Iran is coming after us, saying that this is all of our fault, that we are the ones that started this. Why would we be providing aid to them at all? Doesn't make any sense to me. You can't buy friends. You can't buy loyalty.
The words of Oklahoma Senator Mark Wayne Mullen. And Biden are acknowledging, well, if they start confiscating it, then we'll shut it off. Biden himself, under his administration since 2021, has sent $1 billion in aid to Palestinians. And who has it? Probably Hamas. Again, back to Yousaf, the Green Prince, who had served at one time as he was the son of one of the Hamas leaders. He said, aid at this time, even though Egypt is maybe going to open the gate briefly tomorrow for aid to go in, he said it could be a mistake.
After we destroy the tunnels, we need to finish Hamas rule in Gaza Strip. This is priority number one. Then we need to replace the regime. Could be the Palestinian Authority, could be the Egyptian government, could be Arab League force. We need to replace their rule in Gaza. After that, we can talk about aid. But as of now, sending any aid is a mistake.
So you also believe that this isn't about the Palestinians fighting for their rights and their sovereignty. What is the real mission of Hamas? And what do they really think of the Palestinian people?
You know, Hamas is not a national movement. Hamas is a religious movement with a goal to establish an Islamic state. They don't care for nationalism. Actually, they are against nationalism. With that said, my understanding that they are using the Palestinian cause only to achieve their goals, so the long-term goal, you know, transforming the Middle East and the world into an Islamic state.
Well, he knows. He's been on the inside of it. And, of course, despite what's happening now as Israel retaliates for the attack upon them, and not their military or military installations, but citizens, and not just rockets fired, but a mass of men with equipments and weapons that went in killing and slaughtering civilians, regardless of their age, raping children in front of their parents, then killing the parents, burning them, found one family of five huddled in a bed and shot all of them. They have today been laid to rest, and other bodies are still being found. And apparently Hamas is dropping off bodies along various areas so they can be found. So we still don't know the full death count. And we're hearing many talk about genocide, right? In fact, it's happening again today at Harvard University. They're doing it again. Student groups behind Harvard University's pro-terror statement regarding the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, organizing a die-in yesterday and apparently maybe doing it again today, and tonight, I should say, protesting, quote, genocide in Gaza. Hundreds of students were laying down the courtroom outside their dorm buildings, acting like they were dead. These are college students at an institute of higher learning such as Harvard. You think they would realize what kind of stupid prank do you think you're doing here, and what do you accomplish? Well, you got some coverage, but you're also seen as being stupid. Yourself, again, the son of a Hamas leader, that he abandoned his own father and became a Christian and has joined Sin Bet now, the Israeli intel, so he can give inside information on what they might find in Gaza. He said, right now, those who are crying out for blood of Israel and claiming that Israel is in the wrong for what it's doing, he said, Palestinians in Gaza, those that survive and know that they're being targeted only because Hamas is using them as shields, they should be thanking Israel.
We need to free Gaza from Hamas. This is what Israel is doing. It's doing the Palestinian people the greatest favor by bringing Hamas down. Then the Palestinian people, they just want to live a normal life. They don't want missiles in the most populated area on right. Earth to be launched from under hospitals, from crowded areas, and going suicidal and endangering the life of the entire population of Gaza. Who does that? You've got to be insane to do such an operation.
Right.
And
you're talking about your family. Your family used to believe that. And you used to believe that that was okay. But you don't. Mossab, now, quick exit question. Around the globe, and even in our capital, people are protesting for Hamas. They're saying for the Israel to back off and stop with the airstrikes. Well, what do you say to those protesters? What is about their mindset?
Okay, listen, I cannot convince the entire world of truth. Right now, people are emotional. They hate to see children dying. Even though, you know, Hamas is killing the people at the hospital, and we have evidence of that, but they still blame Israel. People can blame whoever they want, you know, but now we have to concentrate. We have to focus. Public opinion is very important, but unfortunately, it's not the time to win the right. public opinion. It's the time to win the war against the most brutal terrorist organization living today.
The words there of Mossab Youssef, Hamas defector. And his closing words, let me add for you. Hamas is not seeking coexistence and compromise. The destruction of the state of Israel is not the final destination. Hamas wants to build an Islamic state on the rubble of every other civilization. Think about that point. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.